Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Shayna Farfel with Occupational Health. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Cosby Stone, a research fellow at Vanderbilt University Medical Center's Allergy and Immunology Fellowship Program. Dr. Stone, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, yeah, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Thanks. So today we're going to discuss drug allergies,
yes.
Specifically to penicillin. Dreaded by patients and providers alike, penicillin allergies can significantly impact a patient's treatment and plan of care, but may not have to. So that's what we're going to discuss today.
You bet.
First off, can you tell us the symptoms of a penicillin allergy?
There's really two kinds of things that we worry about as being penicillin allergy. One is the immediate symptoms that start with something like hives and then lead to nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, shortness of breath, and then swelling, and then loss of consciousness, low blood pressure, and shock. That's called anaphylaxis. Mm-hmm. So that's a severe immediate penicillin allergy. And then there is a category of severe delayed reactions where you have really bad skin rashes that can lead to blistering or fevers or organ injuries. So between those two, those are what we call penicillin allergy. Then in addition to that, there's a lot of things that happen to people while they're on penicillin that aren't allergy. And the vast majority of things that people think of as being penicillin allergy actually fall into that category, where it's a mimic of allergy that isn't really something that you necessarily have to avoid the drug in the future.
What's the estimated number of people who have a documented penicillin allergy in their medical record versus the number of people who have a true penicillin allergy?
At Vanderbilt, we looked at this recently, and it's something on the order of 270,000 people who have contact with the Vanderbilt medical system have a penicillin allergy listed in their chart, which is something on the order of about 8% of our total Vanderbilt patient population. Mm-hmm. Of those, in series of testing that we've done here in our clinic, when we test the patients who come to us from all walks of life, only about 1-4% of those patients actually will test positive to a penicillin.
So big difference there.
It's a big difference. Yeah. So there's tons of people who think that they're allergic to penicillin because mm-hmm. of some event that happened to them at some point, usually in childhood. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of those folks are not allergic to penicillin. There's a couple of reasons for that. Mm-hmm. One is that the initial events that people often call a penicillin allergy are actually not allergy. So amongst those things include, I took it when I was a child and I had a viral infection at the same time, and viruses and drugs can interact with one another to cause rashes. Mm-hmm. That's the most common reason for why you would end up with a penicillin allergy listed in your chart, actually.
Okay.
75% of penicillin allergy labels are put onto a child's chart by the time that they're 3 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's usually these childhood virus drug interactions that are causing people to get it put in their chart. Mm-hmm. Another reason why people often have a label in their chart is because they had indigestion mm-hmm. with a penicillin and antibiotics. Antibiotics cause lots of indigestion, and penicillin's no exception. Amoxicillin's no exception. Mm-hmm. So nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, people say, oh, I'm allergic to that. It wasn't really an allergy. You shouldn't avoid the drug if you need it in the future, but it was something that made you say, oh, I think I'm allergic.
Why is a misdiagnosis of a penicillin allergy potentially harmful to an individual and then maybe to society at large?
So the complications that come from having a penicillin allergy in your chart when you have an infection are that you get a second or a third line antibiotic. Those second and third line antibiotics can have side effects of their own, mm-hmm. and sometimes they're actually less effective. By giving the wrong antibiotic in place of the penicillin that you think you have to avoid, you end up having longer hospital stays, treatment failures, more likely to get surgical site infections. Mm-hmm. So we know all these things to be true based on research that others have done and some research that we've done here. And these are things that should be avoidable just by getting rid of the penicillin allergy that's no longer true, if it ever was true to begin with. Mm-hmm.
How do you test for a true penicillin allergy? And again, touched on this a bit, but who are good candidates for testing?
So the people who are the best candidates for testing are the people who've had a recent reaction, if we're talking about immediate reactions. Mm-hmm. So if you had one of those immediate reactions and you really want to know whether it was the penicillin that did it, coming in early and finding out soon after the reaction is possible is going to give us the best chance of telling you the right answer. Mm-hmm. And then if you have a severe skin allergy where, you know, you have that blistering skin rash or that severe skin rash along with organ injuries, mm-hmm. you know, something called Stevens-Johnson syndrome or DRESS, something like that, we can still do appropriate testing or give you advice on what you can take and can't take. Now, all the doctors at VASAP and the nurse practitioners at VASAP, you know, our allergy clinics here at Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. can now provide penicillin allergy testing to low-risk patients who they have that history and they're still just not quite sure that they want to take a dose without having had a skin test beforehand. And we also have nurse practitioners who can do testing for people who have had those immediate, more concerning reactions. And then in our drug allergy clinics with Dr. Phillips and myself, mm-hmm. we're going to be handling the medium and the higher-risk patients. So in our drug allergy clinic, whatever the patient needs, we're going to try to figure out how to do it. Especially if you have a need for that drug and you think you might be allergic to it. That's where we really will go to bat for you.
So these sound like great services that you guys provide. How would a patient access them? Is this something that's covered by insurance generally?
It is, yes. Yeah. And especially, you know, since I know that the majority of the listeners are going to be Vanderbilt employees, mm-hmm. we take, you know, the Vanderbilt insurances cover what we do, okay. no problem. Sometimes we have to go to bat for some patients who have different insurance plans, but sure. we will do that as well. Sure. Our services are covered and patients can access them.
Wonderful.
Definitely.
Wonderful. Well, this has been very interesting, super informative. I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to this issue. And now knowing a bit more, we'll be able to access services. And so thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely.
Really
yeah. And if somebody wants to come see us, the main thing is just, you know, have your doctor put in a referral and mm-hmm. try to be as detailed as possible about what happened to you and which drugs are the most important ones for you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you have a story suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu, or you can use the Contact Us page on our website at www.vumc.org/health-wellness.